Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We'll start with verse 6. I want you to listen to this passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son into the world to die for us. God, that we might not have to go to hell, but we could have life eternal. We could have a place in heaven where we'll be with you. God, we thank you for the forgiveness of sin. God, and if there's someone here this morning that hasn't been reconciled to you, Lord, may they truly come this morning. For the Bible says that for by grace are we saved through faith, not of works. And Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. It's a gift of God. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to bless us. Fill this place with your Spirit, Lord. And God, we'll give you all the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I don't know about you, but Thanksgiving is a wonderful time of the year. Amen. How many enjoyed blessings during the Thanksgiving? You just sit down to a good old meal, you know, good pie, good friends, good food. Not so good a football game, but you enjoyed the blessings of God, didn't you? I thank God for that time. Well, I was sitting at home last night, and I was turning through the channels just trying to find something that I hadn't seen. I turned to Superman. I like Superman. I'm a kid at heart, and that was my hero back when I was watching as growing up, Superman. Superman always come just in the right time, didn't he? Last night, I was sitting there, and I get with it. You ask Rhonda, sometimes when he flies, I fly. When the scary part jumps, I jump. But I get with it. She has more fun watching me. You know, same way with Westerns. I'm shooting them, and I'm just having fun. But last night, that old bad guy took the Statue of Liberty, and he was dropping it on all those people. And you know how they look. Oh, and they're screaming and hollering. And Superman, right before it hits, boom, he's there. And he just comes and rescues all of them, carries it back. And he always comes out on the winner. Well, folks, let me tell you something. Wouldn't it be good? We sing that song, "Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying, Snatch Them from Pity, from Sin and the Grave. Weep over the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save." Wouldn't it be nice today if we had someone right in the moment, in the nick of time, to pull up people from the place called hell. saved them from the destruction in their life. Well, we do have. Isn't that great news? That's a blessing in itself. But God, it said, but God, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Well, this is what the Bible is talking about. God demonstrates His love for us. Can you just imagine? God demonstrates His love for while we were yet sinners, the Bible says. Still in our sinful state, still doing things that are unpleasing to Him, He sent His Son to die for us in due time. You see, the essence of loving someone is giving to someone. And we're going to be talking about the Christmas season. We're already talking about it. Everybody down there at the stores, they got Christmas out. Now they're trying to make a dollar. But let me tell you something. God's not trying to make a dollar. He's trying to save you from your sin. He's trying to give you something. And the Bible says this someone is Jesus Christ, His very own Son. The essence of giving is giving someone something very precious. And God gave His only begotten Son. He bestowed gifts on mankind, even though they didn't deserve it. He gave His Son. That is the gospel in a nutshell at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Folks, just think about that. Let it just come into your heart this morning. The thanksgiving ought to flow from your life, knowing that God so loved you that He gave the very best gift anyone could give is His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul sees Jesus Christ, or he sees the cross of Jesus Christ as God's gift to mankind. God knew when He gave His Son, He would have to die on the cross. And folks, that's what you call love. That's what you call real loving, when you give your someone so special, and you know they're going to be treated like dirt, you know they're going to be whipped, you know they're going to be crucified on a cross, but yet you go ahead and give that very precious gift to them because you love them. You know, when we give gifts, we want people to take care of those gifts, don't we? You give something precious to somebody, and you want them to take care of that gift. Imagine knowing that you're going to spend a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort on a very special gift, and then they're going to take it and throw it in the trash. Man, God knew that it would cost Him His Son. Yet the Bible says He sent His Son. He demonstrated His love towards us. I want us to notice this morning the costliness of the gift. Why do we give expensive gifts at Christmas and different things? Because, you know, the more the gift, the more the gift you give, the greater love it represents, don't it? Now, let me ask you something, man. When you found that special woman, man, I found a jewel. I love that woman to death. She came up here and made the announcements, and Miss Mary said, "You ought to tell her you love her more." I do. When we were dating, I loved her, and I still love her. But you know what? When we got married, you know, what if I'd have said, you're men the same way. You go out to buy that wedding ring. You don't buy just a little 0.2 diamond to put in that, do you? No, man, you want the biggest thing you can afford. Maybe that may be all you can afford. But I'll tell you what, you'll go in debt. You'll go in debt because why? You love her. And you want your she's something special to you. So you try to buy that carrot instead of that 0.2 carrot. Uh-huh. I know we all went that way. We probably all got broke. But, you know, you were expressing your love towards her, and you wanted to give her the best ring that you could give her at that time because you loved her. Folks, Christ died, and He represents the greatest gift. Oh. And when we realize and understand who Christ is. It's God. It was God Himself reconciling us to Him. He knew that His Son was going to die on that cross for us. Jesus Christ is God's Son. Formerly, God sent the prophets. Formerly, God sent the angels. But this time, He sent His Son to die for you and I. That's how much God loves us, folks. No greater love, the Bible says in John 15, no greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. But let me tell you something. When the Bible says we're enemies of God, it's hard to lay down your life for an enemy, isn't it? You just think of the worst enemy America has, and you'd be willing to go lay down your life for him? I doubt if we would do that. You know, we're just not cut that way, are we? But God showed, He demonstrated how He loved us by sending the most precious gift that He could give, and that was His Son. And in giving His Son, He is giving Himself that He might have a relationship with us. Man, wouldn't you like to have a relationship with God this morning? Well, that relationship, let me tell you something, it won't cost you anything. The Bible says it's a gift of God. It's a free gift. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. And He gave His Son for you on the cross. And He says, this is the greatest gift that I can give. It won't cost you nothing, but it costs God everything. Now, a gift like that, we ought to take into our life. A gift like that we ought to receive. It's a gift that of a lifetime. I heard stories of World War II, the veterans, when they went into Omaha Beach, Normandy there. Those men that went first, they knew more than likely they were going to die. But yet they rushed in. And many of them did die. And many of them were left wounded. And they were pointing the way. They were guiding the way. And they would go through the landmines. And many of them would blow up. But their friends and the ones who followed knew that because they laid down their life, they could follow and they wouldn't hit another mine. Folks, we don't have that kind of honor today. We don't have that kind of sense of duty today. We don't have that kind of responsibility in our society today. It's in very short supply. But it's not with God, folks. God still loves you. God still would give His very best Son for you this morning. He laid down His Son for you, and He did that to point the way to the cross that you might have eternal life. That's the ultimate explanation of love, folks. Calvary, Paul said. Paul here points to a hill of Calvary where a cross is there. That old cross is battered. That old cross is empty. And it tells us on that cross, Jesus Christ died and rose again. Folks, Jesus Christ is not stay dead. The Bible says He rose again. And when we look at that old cross, we know that Jesus Christ spilt His blood there, gave His blood there, that you and I might have eternal life this morning. What a great gift He gives us. What a great blessing He has upon our life. And remember, the more a gift costs, the giver, the greater love it represents. So you just think about giving your Son. And you think about how much God loves you this morning. No matter what you've done, or no matter what you're doing, God says if you'll come to Him and you will give your life to Him, you'll repent of your sin, turn around your life, He will forgive you. Folks, that's what it's all about. God gave His Son. He loves you this morning so very, very much, the Bible says. For when we were still without strength, let me tell you something. We had no strength. I think that song said it well. We have no strength to save ourselves. If we try to save ourselves, we just end in a life of misery. An emptiness there. But God says, when you were without strength, I sent my son to die for you. And you know what? The worthlessness of the gifted or the gift, you see, the less one, the one who receives the gift deserves the gift, you see, the greater the love it represents. Let me try to tell you what I'm saying here. We did nothing to deserve God's Son. I was unworthy. I'm still unworthy. The only thing that makes me worthy is knowing that I'm in Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ is in me. When God looks at me, he sees his son's blood over my sin. That makes me worthy. But you know, in and of myself, there's nothing good about this old human body. There's nothing good about your body. There's nothing good about this life unless it comes with Jesus Christ. See, the Bible calls us, listen to what the Bible tells us. He gives us a scripture. One, he says, you're sinners. People don't like that no more. They don't like to be called sinners. That means you have fallen short of God's standards. In Vacation Bible School, we simply say you've missed the mark that God set for us. We're sinners. And the Bible says all have sinned. Every one of us have sinned, folks. And the Bible says we've come short of God's glory. So there's nothing good about you. There's nothing good about me. That's what the Bible says. We are sinners. And then it says something else. We're ungodly. Man, I tell you, I look at the world today and I know we're ungodly. We've left God out. That's not means not like God. We have a different lifestyle than God. God's life, the Bible says, is holy. And our lives are unholy, ungodly. Paul is sounding like an old hellfire brimstone preacher when he says here, you're ungodly, you're sinners. And then he calls us God's enemies down there in verse 10. He said, God and you. Can you hear Paul preaching to the people? He says, listen, people, God and you are enemies. You're at odds with one another. That's what enemies are. We're always picking at one another. We're always at each other's throat. We're not, God's not pleased with us in our life. The way we live, God is not pleased with the way we live. When he looks at me, he says, Booney, I'm not pleased with the way you act. I'm not pleased with the way you live. If it wasn't for my son, Jesus Christ, I wouldn't have a chance. You wouldn't have a chance. We are God's enemies. We're just like the devil. The devil's like, you know, if you're not saved today, well, you're living for the devil. The devil's at odds with God. And not only that, I like verse 6. It says, you are without strength. You have no power in your life whatsoever. We're utterly like a newborn babe. They're helpless. They depend on someone else. They depend on someone to feed them. They depend on someone to change them. They depend on somebody to hold them. That's the way we are. We're simply without any kind of power in our life. We're without any kind of strength. We're caught in a web of sin. And we're guilty. And what's more, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. Folks, that's what Paul describes us as. We're worthlessness in our life. Yet, the Bible says God sent his son. In due time, just in the nick of time. One too early, one too late. He paints a ugly, accurate picture of mankind in the world. Man, if you read this book of Acts, it just, you know, I sat out and read this whole chapter this week and just looked at what man's life was, you see. Back in chapter 3, and God let them go their own way. But he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we can have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, that's the way we get peace this morning, through Jesus Christ. Paul states that when we were still powerless, Christ died for us. When we were still without any kind of strength in our life, when we were still weak, I think about I don't know about you, but I watch spiders. I like to watch spiders build their web. It's amazing how they can build that web and string that web. But you know what they're building that web for? Destruction. They want to destroy a life. And sooner or later, when they build that web, a victim is going to fly into that web and get caught. And you know what that spider does? He runs out there just as fast as he can, pounces on that victim, sticks those fangs in his artery, and sucks all the juice out of that victim. All the life out of that victim. Well, I think about that's the way we are. We're caught in a web of sin. And let me tell you something. The old devil loves it when we're caught in that web of sin, for death sticks his old ugly fangs in our neck and literally sucks the life out of us. Strength out of us. We can do nothing. We're just helplessly caught in that web of sin. But God, in his divine love, when we were caught in that web of sin, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to take our place. Can you imagine coming in and rescuing that little bug and setting that bug free before that old spider sucks the life out of him? Well, let me tell you something. That bug, you think that bug would be grateful to you? No. Why? Life is just life to him, whether he dies or not. But you know what? Humanly speaking, we would say, yes, we ought to be grateful for that. But you know what? We're just like that bug. We're no better than a bug. When they said over in Genesis that they saw themselves as grasshoppers, let me tell you something. That's what we are. We're just grasshoppers. We're no more thankful to God. If we were really thankful to God, guess what we'd be doing? We'd be living for him. We'd be living for him, studying his word, praying, going to church, doing the things he asked us to do. But no, no, no. He come and rescued us out of that web, and he says, okay, my son died for you. I'm going to rescue you. And we say, well, God, some other time. We've got things to do before we, you know, we're not grateful for that. Folks, we ought to be grateful. Are you really thankful this year? Are you really thankful for God? If you're thankful for God, then show him how thankful you are. Do his kind of work. Come to church. Read your Bible. Pray. Help someone else along the way. Tell them about Jesus. Rescue the perishing. I think of that old song, I was sinking deep in sin. Here's your song. She asked me to sing. Far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. Man, when nothing else could help, God's love lifted me. Folks, that ought to be our song. That ought to be all be singing at to the whole world, telling them that God's love lifted me. Folks, we don't deserve that. We didn't deserve that kind of love. Yet it's that kind of love that God has for each and every one of us right now. If you don't know that love, that's what God wants to give you. Why are you here this morning? Why did you come to church this morning? Was it because you wanted to serve God? You wanted to say, thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given me? Maybe you're here this morning and you came and you realize you're lost without Christ. Won't you come to him this morning? Won't you come and give him your life? Oh, the timelessness of the giver. Paul tells us that the gift of God's Son came at just the right time. He says, literally, at the very point of our need, right when we were sinking. Man, just think about that. Right when we were sinking in the waters, right when the waters were going to overcome us, God reached down and pulled you out. Some of you this morning, the waters are about to cover you. You're here this morning and you've got troubles in your life. Man, we've got troubles, don't we? But you're living a life and you're saying, Lord, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. Maybe my marriage is breaking up. Maybe my children are breaking me up. You know, maybe financial debt is there. I don't know what your problem is. But I know one thing, if you're without Christ, sin is your problem. And God says, I want to pick you up out of that. I want to go through this life with you. I know one thing, God blessed me. Oh yeah, I still have problems. I still have debts. I still have things I don't know how to deal with. But you know what? When I have those things, I have a Heavenly Father that I can cry out to. And I know that He loves me. And I know He will answer me. And He says, listen, if you will walk with me and put your faith in me, then I will see you through. For the Bible says, when the waters come over me, or when I go through the fiery trials, He walks with me. Not only did He walk with me, I believe He just totes me through it. You see, I'm without strength. I can't even walk myself. That's man's greatest need, is the Lord and Savior. I love that old song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. In the nick of time, God sent His Son. And then Paul says, the first time He came, the Bible says He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, when Jesus came, He came to seek and to save those which are lost. His plan was to die on the cross, that He might make a way for your salvation. And the Bible says, He said, Father, it's finished. I have made that way of salvation. Now, the second time He comes, and He will come again. He'll come again and He will establish a new heaven, the Bible says, and a new earth. And then comes the judgment, folks. Oh, now we don't like to talk about judgment. But let me tell you, you're going to meet God. I was sitting back there at the back earlier listening to the choir or the group up here practice. And I was thinking about, Teddy mentioned the names of God. And those were going over in my mind, the names of God, talking about the things. And one of them said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord. Now, every knee. Does that mean Satan? Yes, man. Every knee. Oh, Satan's going to have to get out on his knees one day and say, Jesus is Lord. It's going to be too late for him. But he's still going to have to confess it. Isn't that wonderful? Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. One day, you're going to have an opportunity. Today is that opportunity to come to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to worship Him. I want Him to come into my life. If you walk out of here and you don't do that and you die, you think it's over? No, it's just begun. You're going to live all eternity. Oh, but preacher, you said I was going to die. You are going to die physically, but that spirit's going to live on, and it's going to live on in a place called hell because you refused God's Son. You refused the payment for your sin. But you know what? When the judgment time comes, the great white throne judgment, you're going to have to kneel down before God and say, you're Lord. I realize that now. But it's too late. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And cast you along with the devil and everybody else that refuses Him into that lake of fire. Forever and ever, weeping and wailing. Oh, you don't want to do that. God doesn't want you to do that. How do I know? For God so loved you that He gave His Son just in the nick of time that you could have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see? When we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. This Thanksgiving, I've just enjoyed it. Just praising God's name. Just praising God. You know, I've got all eternity to praise God. I like that old song, when we get to heaven, we're going to, you know, see people there. The first one I want to see is Jesus Christ. I want to see my loved ones that are gone on. But you know what? I believe I'm going to love one. I think we're going to love each other with a perfect love. I know we will. And we'll all love each other. But you know what? I'm going to see people that have shared the gospel with me when I was a kid. People that never gave up on me. I'm writing my life story. I told Rhonda the other day, I was on the deer blind, and I said, I'm writing my life story. She said, that'll be interesting. But I'll have all the days just to praise God. My life story will never end. I thought about that. It'll never end because I've got all eternity. Folks, I don't deserve that. But I was saved back in 1979. Just in the nick of time, when sin was about to cover me up, God reached down. And I looked up to him. And I said, Lord, would you be my Savior? And he has. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. What does that mean, preacher? What does that mean, call? Right now, all you have to do is say, Lord, I need you in my life. My life is going under. I'm sinking deep in sin every day, further and further. I want you to come into my life and save me. You know what? He says, the moment you call, you shall be saved. The moment you really want him in your life. I'm not just saying, well, if I call on him, if I ask him to come in, will he come in, then I can go and live my own life? No, that's not it, folks. You hadn't done anything. When you call upon the name of the Lord, when you believe, whosoever believes, when you really believe, what you're doing is you're surrendering your life to him. We don't have no easy believe and get out of here saved by fire insurance. No, when you give your life to God, you surrender it to God, you say, here, Lord, I've messed it up. You take it and you use it. It's yours. That's surrender. That's believing. That's putting your faith in. You're getting into Christ Jesus. And not only that, he says, I'm in you. I'll see you with my spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Man, that's what salvation is. Salvation is, we're saved, we're justified right now. We're sanctified, we're set apart. That means God's going to start working on our lives. He's going to make us, we're free from the presence of sin, the power of sin in this life. And then one day when he calls us home, we're glorified. There's no more sin in heaven. We're free from the very presence of sin. Now would you come this morning? If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then won't you start today? Why don't you come today? You see, that's the greatest Thanksgiving gift, greatest Christmas gift God could ever give you, is his Son, Jesus Christ. He gave it for you. Would you come and accept it? People around you, they're not going to say anything bad about you if you want to come. That's what we're here for. They're praying for you. I'm praying for you. I want you to come. I'm not going to get any bonus. I'm not going to get any stars in my crown. But I just want you to come because that's what God wants you to do. And not only that, I want you to live for him. I want you to come back tonight because that's what God wants you to do. And in the morning, I want you to live for him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and every day of your life. Give it to God. Live for him. For him. Maybe you're here this morning and you already been saved. You know you're saved, but you're not living pleasing to God. The Bible says for us that are saved and we've done something wrong, we're out of God's will. He says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us And folks, let me tell you something. I have to confess my sin just like you have. To stay right with God just about every day, I have to confess my sin, because we all do things. I don't want to do them. I just find myself doing them sometimes. And I say, Lord, you know where I fail you today? And he'll say, yeah, I know. I'm confessing it. I'm agreeing with you that I really messed up. And I want you to forgive me. And he says, you're forgiven. Come on back. Let's work together. You see, that's what we have to do every day, is just continue to confess our sin. Just continue to stay right with God, that we might grow more and more like him every day. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saved and you're looking for a church home. We have some visitors here. I don't know. If you're looking for a church home today, we'd love to have you. I'd like to share with you how you can join our fellowship. If you just come down and say, preacher, I feel like the Lord's led us to this church and we want to join your fellowship, I'll be glad to share with you how you can join. Not that we might put a number on someone and say, all right, we got so many baptized this year, so many joined this year. No, I don't care about numbers. What I want you to come is that we might serve together for the glory of God. For if we're trying to do anything else, to put stars in our crown, then we're for the wrong reason. We're to glorify God with our lives. Would you come? As soon as I get through praying, the music's going to start playing. Would you come? Just step out. People will let you out, and you come today before it's too late. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that just in the nick of time, when we were without strength, when we were ungodly, when we were sinners, when we are powerless to save ourselves, you so loved us that you gave your Son that we might have life. And Lord, this morning there's people here that need that life. And Lord, I pray that they'll step out and come forward. For it's in your precious name that we ask these things. The name of Jesus. Amen.